Well, Sheila's going to bring us our reading from 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, as I call it, often read at weddings, but I'd like it read today.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. For now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
I well remember that hymn, that song, which was part of the Welsh revival of about 100 years ago. And I was at a conference quite a few years ago now, and it was one of these at a... it was actually a showground. And so in this vast, I was going to say auditorium, it was actually a shed, basically, but there were about 300 people there, and a Welsh girl sang that in her mother tongue, in Welsh. And it was one of those moments that was very special, and a tingling down the spine as she sang that from 100 years previously in her mother tongue. She wasn't 100, obviously. She was a young girl, but sang beautifully in her mother tongue, and then we repeated it in English. But a very special moment. Here is love, vast as the ocean. And as we've so lovingly portrayed the death and resurrection of Jesus, we've remembered his sacrifice, and as Charlie said, we proclaim it to the principalities and powers that Jesus is Lord and King. When I was preparing what to say today, to bring, I always have to have something that captivates me, and then I work around that. And I'd like to read a, it was actually a song by a singer called Bryn Howarth, and he says this: "What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that died in agony? He who had done no wrong was crucified for me. What kind of man is this who laid aside his throne that I may know the love of God? What kind of man is this? By grace I have been saved. It is the gift of God. He destined me to be his son. Such is his love. Or daughter, son or daughter, his child, such is his love. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, nor has the heart of man conceived. What kind of love is this? And I met knew Brynhawth many years ago, and met him just last summer. And he was he actually did a we were at a conference week, and he did an evening playing his guitar. And he told how he came to faith. He was quite dissatisfied as a young man, and he and his wife. And his wife said to him, "Why don't you start painting?" He obviously had a painting gift. And one of the first things apparently he painted was a circus tent. And they were in Eastbourne, and they saw a circus tent. So they thought, well, let's go to the circus. So they went in, but it wasn't actually a circus tent. It was a Dick Saunders evangelistic crusade. Dick Saunders was, I was going to say, England's equivalent to Billy Graham. He was one of those who in the 60s, 70s had a big tent. And interestingly, they gave their lives to Jesus, and the rest is history. He's still, 50-odd years later, still singing and performing. And it was a lovely story, I thought. You know, they thought they were going to the circus and actually found something. And he's written these songs along with many others, and is a very gifted musician who shares his faith. But also, I obviously, my subject today is love. And we've read so beautifully to us, that Sheila read to us, that love is patient and kind and all those things that we know. And yet I find in my heart, sometimes it's difficult. I know them in theory, but when the rubber hits the road, as they say, not always easy to put that into practice. And my shop in Petworth, I had a visit from Michael Ball. And those of you who will know Michael Ball, you see him in a very smart evening suit with a nice white frilly shirt and a bow tie. And as he came in the shop, I was so tempted to sing "Love, Love Changes Everything," because that was a song that he made big at the time. And someone said a couple of weeks ago, "Love changes everything." And because I love singing, I'm no musician, but I love singing, I love songs, that song immediately came in. And I can remember the time when he came in the shop. But he didn't come, he was in relaxed mode. And my mother, when us boys were looking less than our best, she would say, "Son, you look like you've been pulled through a hedge backwards." And he looked a bit like that, I must say, on that day. But I should have asked him to sing to me "Love Changes Everything," because that's what he was singing at the time. But that got me thinking that how love changes everything. And when we experience the love of God, it changes everything. Changes our outlook, it changes us, and it changes the world when we realize that love, the love of God, changes everything. And so, at the relative outset of a new year, it's a timely reminder of the importance of love. And I love John 3:16. I love to break down John 3:16, which is the favorite, famous one, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And God so loved the world that he gave. And love without sacrifice, love without giving, is not true love, as we read from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it's costly, it doesn't bear grudges, it doesn't seek its own way, it surrenders to other people. So God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? The best gift ever. Jesus, as we remembered earlier. He gave Jesus. Not a passive, not a sort of soppy love, but a love that was self-giving, sacrificial love, a costly love. Cost God everything to give his son. And love that's worth anything is costly. And I like John 1 John 3 verse 1. See what love the Father has lavished on us. I like that word, lavish. And, you know, if you get your apple crumble and you put a good dose of cream or custard on it, you don't just put a, you know, you cover it. And that's the sort of love. That's what. And I'm a brown sauce man, so if I have a sausage roll, I lavish brown another man who's... Are you a brown sauce man? Perfect. Perfect. Daddy's sauce. You can't beat it. So I don't put a little... I like to put... You know, you've got to taste it. And that's... And that, for me, that word lavish, generous... I looked up in the dictionary, good old-fashioned dictionary. I didn't do it online. Did a dictionary that I remember my father using. Must be, well, close on 100 years old, I should think. But anyway, it's very worn and tattered, but it's good. And lavish in the dictionary says extremely abundant. And isn't that the way God loves us? Extremely abundantly, extravagant, generous. And we love because he first loved us. Our love of God is a small, pale reflection, but it's something that he's pleased with. He loves your love. He loves your worship. He loves your praise. And once we've allowed the love of God to touch us, I venture to suggest that we'll never be the same again. Love will change everything. And we love because he first loved us. And Jude, verse 21, encourages us to keep ourselves in God's love. So how do you keep yourself in God's love? What's your secret for keeping yourself in God's love? Maybe a walk in the country. Maybe a telephone call to somebody. Maybe a study of the word. Maybe a prayer time. All sorts of things to keep ourselves in the love of God. He is the creator of our world. We're encouraged. We are also encouraged in John 15 to love one another. Isn't that good? To love one another, because loving one another will change everything, change the way we view one another. Which, it's not always easy, is it? Because sometimes, even loving people, if we're honest, maybe rub us up the wrong way. But with God's help and with God's love, I'm not saying I've perfected this, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, encourages us to love each other deeply. And again, that hints of costliness. You know, it's all very well to say, oh, I love you, but actually if love doesn't involve action, then maybe it's not love itself, because love will change everything. Michael Ball's song, which I don't think he wrote, I think it was... Andrew Lloyd Webber, it says at the bottom here, Andrew Lloyd Webber's song, but Michael Ball sang it. Love changes everything, hands and faces, earth and sky. Love changes everything, how you live and how you die. Isn't that interesting? How you live and how we die. If we know God's love, then death has no fear for us. Maybe the process of death, but actually we live, we are eternal beings, because love changes everything. Love can make the summer fly or a night seem like a lifetime. Love changes everything. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. And nothing in the world is the same since Jesus came. Because he said, I bring life, and I bring life eternal. Love will turn your world around. And as we allow God's love to soak us, and it's a process, it will turn our world around. And that world will last forever. Love changes everything. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. Love will never let you be the same. We're told that God is love. God doesn't just love as an action, but he is love itself. Interesting, isn't it? God is love. And we love because, as I say, he first loved us. And why should we love love each other deeply? 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. And love, as we experience the love of God, we will never be the same again. So we read together that three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Without the love of God, faith is futile and hope is hopeless. But with God's love, the greatest of these is love. And as we experience and as we daily dwell and enjoy the love of God, that's costly for us, very costly for Him, but love will produce faith. Love will produce hope. Love will make hope possible. Love will make faith possible. The greatest of these is love. Let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you today for your love. A very simple message. Thank you that you are love. Thank you that you love us today. Thank you that you love your world. Thank you that you love the places where there's anything but peace. We pray for peace in our world. We pray for peace in our hearts, because your love changes everything. We pray for peace in our communities. Pray for peace in our families. We pray for love to prevail in our communities, in our nation, in our world. We pray for an influx of your love. We pray for politicians, pray for world rulers, world leaders who seem to act in, without being judgmental, act in such unloving ways. We pray for a baptism of love, your love, Lord, to pervade our world. Thank you that your love changes everything. We thank you that when we experience your love, we'll never be the same again. Pray, Lord, for a sweeping through our communities of our and our world of your love, your grace, your mercy, your hope. As we respond to your love, Lord, we thank you that you accept our worship. You accept the feeble praise of our hearts. Thank you that you love us. And thank you that you showed the depth of your love, Father God, in sending your Son Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who's with us day by day. I ask you to bless us with a fresh inspiration to love you in return for your love for us. Amen.